Should we just let the music play for a minute or so?
I don't mind listening to this for a while. This puts you in the right headspace, doesn't it?
It just prepares you.
It's a nice song.
This music, of course, is for Peter King.
Of course it is.
And our regular weekly visit with Peter, which, as always, is brought to you by Verizon Fios, Shaw's, and Star Market, and by Always Health Partners. Mm-hmm. We are connecting with Peter right now, and we will talk to him even as we speak. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Good morning, Dale. How's everything?
We're doing fine, thank you. I'm looking at the AFC standings, thinking that there's at least a possibility in my mind that the Kansas City Chiefs lose to Baltimore, that the Patriots beat the Dolphins, and for New England at least, all will be right with the world.
It's a weird conference. You know, it really is, because the way I sort of look at this, I mean, I think you need to really consider what is going on with the schedules down the stretch, especially, in my opinion, what's going to happen with the Los Angeles Chargers. So, you know, the Chargers have a crucial game a week from today at Kansas City. And Kansas City, all, you know, you would say, okay, well, maybe Kansas City can survive that because the Chargers got a couple of tough games. Well, Kansas City's got to go to Seattle. And I know that nobody wants to talk about the effect of the loss of Kareem Hunt, the football player, but Kareem Hunt, as I wrote my column the other day, the first 27 games of his career compare very favorably to Marshall Faulk, and they leave Thurman Thomas's first 27 games in the dust. This was the best all-around current, now that Le'Veon Bell isn't playing. But even if you include him, he and Le'Veon Bell are the best two all-around backs in the NFL. I think he's better than Todd Gurley as an all-around back. And so that's a gigantic loss for them as a team. So there's a lot of X factors going down the stretch, and I don't consider that, you know, that Kansas City has got it locked up, and then what do you do about Houston? I mean, Houston's totally out of control. So it's going to be an interesting last month.
We haven't talked to you since the Kareem Hunt video was released, and then since he's been released.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like we're right back in the same place 4 years ago with Ray Rice, and it was TMZ that released that video, and then it was the league having to react to that. It seems like we haven't really learned anything in 4 years.
Well, I think the league has determined that they're not going to pay for these videos. They're not going to get in the TMZ business. I mean, as ridiculous as it sounds, I think the league should rethink that, because the amount of guff that they take over this, you have to ask yourself, if you had real private eyes in the NFL and you could find these things, you know, would you want to? If I were the NFL, I would want to. I think there's two major mistakes that were made. Obviously, the league made, I think, a terrible mistake when they chose not to talk to Kareem Hunt. I can figure out why they didn't talk to Kareem Hunt, because they didn't have anything on him. And so if you don't have something on the guy, then all he's going to do is tell you the same thing as he told the Chiefs, which is, I don't know what they're talking about, I didn't do anything. But having said that, you then have Kareem Hunt lying to the NFL as well, so that then when the hammer comes down, if it does come down, it'll come down a lot harder, because now he's not only lied to his team, but he's lied to the league. But I also think there's one other entity that, should be shamed here, and that's the Cleveland Police Department. You've got a woman, a 19-year-old woman, who's sitting there crying, telling you that she just got hit and abused by a guy at 3:45 in the morning. And there are cameras all over this hotel/apartment building where Kareem Hunt lived. And so you don't even take a couple of hours to go to the hotel to say, we need to see this video. So, if that had been done, this would have, Kareem Hunt never would have played this year. And it could have been adjudicated a lot faster than it is now. So Cleveland Police Department shouldn't be let off the hook either.
The word now is that the NFL is looking at three possible incidents, by the way, all in the same calendar year, involving Kareem Hunt.
Right.
Assuming that he's involved in all three, one we know he's involved with, we've seen the video. I've actually seen the video from the January incident as well, because TMZ's got that out there. Assuming he's involved in all three, is he going to play next year either?
I think he's, you know, Dale, I think he made a very big mistake in talking to Lisa Salters on TV, because clearly this is a man who is simply unhappy that he got caught, okay? And he now is crying crocodile tears, but he wouldn't be if he didn't get caught. This is a guy who late nights, maybe alcohol, maybe not, I don't know, but late nights in Kareem Hunt, three times in the span of 2 months, didn't mix very well. And he comes on TV and said, that's not me, that's not the person I was raised to be. It is you. You kicked a woman in anger. That is you. So get help, get it fixed. I wouldn't anticipate he plays before 2020. If he plays, and I think he will play, it's a different story than Ray Rice. Rice was much more advanced in his career, and Kareem Hunt is only 23 years old. My guess is that he will play again, but only if he has some come-to-Jesus moments where he admits that I've put myself in far too many bad situations. That's my fault. I can't be blaming other people on it. So until he does that, Dale, and I think he probably will, until he does that, he's not going to play football again. But I would agree with you. I don't think we'll see him till 2020.
Now, we still don't know what all the openings will be once the season ends. We know, you know, the Browns will be looking for a coach, the Packers will be looking for a coach, and a few others. Do you think Josh McDaniels is a head coach in the league next year?
If I had to make a gut feeling right now, just a gut feeling, I would say yes. But I mean, I think there are going to be some jobs out there, the Jets, the Bucks, maybe the Bengals. If I were Josh McDaniels, I wouldn't have any interest in those. And I would be surprised if he would, because they have such a history of weirdness and or, you know, they don't have a winning tradition. But I think there are two pretty unique jobs. I mean, Cleveland is a unique job for him, and I don't think it has very much to do, if anything, about the family business being in Northeast Ohio, with his father being one of the best high school coaches ever in Northeast Ohio. I don't think that's it. I mean, I'm sure it's not going to hurt the situation, but just remember, I mean, we've talked about this before. You know, Josh McDaniels, on the day of the draft, I forget who reported it, Glazer or somebody reported it, might have been NFL Network, that he spent time on Monday before the draft with Baker Mayfield in Texas. And so, you know, clearly the Patriots had some significant interest in Baker Mayfield. And if he had slipped and everything, that's a guy who I'm guessing that the Patriots probably would have tried to go get as the eventual successor to Tom Brady. And then Green Bay, first of all, hard to imagine how you'd turn down the chance to coach Aaron Rodgers if it was in Saskatoon. I mean, I wouldn't care where it is. But and then to be able to drive down Lombardi Avenue on the way to work every day and go into the stadium that Lambeau and Lombardi built, I don't know how you turn down that job. So I think those are two interesting jobs, but this is the one factor, Rich, that I think is important to realize about the Green Bay job. Like I don't really know. I mean, 3 years ago, Aaron Rodgers told me categorically, I want to be coached. I want to be coached hard. So now there's a lot of people around the league who say, you know, Aaron Rodgers seemed disinterested this year and all that, which I don't buy, really. There have been some times where he's made some throwaways where I wonder, why in the world did you throw that away instead of looking somewhere else? But I also think that I would want to know, whoever is going to do the interviewing there, I got asked the other day by somebody, so do you think the Packers will want Rodgers to talk to the new coach? Hey, if I'm a coaching candidate, I want to talk to Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And I want to say, this is the most important thing of all. I mean, I'm going to coach, if it's an offensive guy, I'm going to coach you hard. Can you, are you up for that? And let's talk about that. Let's talk about my philosophy of coaching. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers is rolling his eyes in that interview, you're going to run away from that as fast as you can. Now, I don't think he's going to. But I think Aaron Rodgers, the whole thing got stale in Green Bay. He got disinterested, and he thought that they were not imaginative in Green Bay. And so I think whoever comes in to coach, there's going to be a process on both sides where both sides are going to want to know something significant about the other.
Josh McDaniels made a commitment to Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots in this past offseason, didn't go to Indianapolis, got a new contract out of it and all of that. If the Cleveland Browns want to hire Josh McDaniels, can the Patriots just say, no, we've got him under contract, you can't talk to him? I know morally you would allow a guy to go.
Right.
Legally, could they hold him to the deal?
Dale, I don't know what the contract says exactly. I can't answer the question. I would think that Josh McDaniels would be able to leave New England for a head coaching job. But again, that's something I don't know. I would assume that when these stories start coming out, that the Patriots would say, hang on a minute, Josh McDaniels can't go anywhere, so kill these stories. But I think the fact that the stories are out there and they're going to be out there in increasing frequency, if it wasn't going to be allowed, the Patriots would probably make that point and pull them off the market. Now, you know, again, that's just my guess. But my guess is that I don't think they would stand in the way if he wanted to go somewhere and be a head coach.
Who's your MVP right now through 13 weeks?
It's Breeze, but he came back to the field a little bit last week. I would say it's Breeze, Mahomes, Phillip Rivers. They would probably be the top three, but I waffle back and forth on, do the Rams have a most valuable player? They got three guys who've had incredible years so far in Goff, Gurley, and Donald. I know that a lot of people are saying now, look at Donald. He's going to compete for the all-time sack record. You got to give it to him. It's not, the name of the award is not most outstanding player. The name is the most valuable player. And in my opinion, it'd be very hard to pick even a great player on a very good defense, good to very good. The Rams have had some moments where they haven't been all that great on defense. But it'd be hard for me to pick them, to pick that person over Breeze or Mahomes. There's still time to play. But right now, I would say Breeze, Mahomes, Rivers.
Final question before we let you go. The Washington Redskins took some grief, well-deserved in my opinion, for claiming Reuben Foster off waivers before I think they did any research at all. Today, Elisa Ennis, the ex-girlfriend who was the person who reported the assault, did an interview on Good Morning America, complete with photographs of the injuries that she suffered, that Reuben Foster's hand. I don't think Reuben Foster is going to play for the Redskins either, do you?
No. Because all along, the point has been Washington wanted a bargain. You know, they wanted Reuben Foster's rights in the event that she again recanted, her accusations this year, and the NFL cleared him, which was going to be very unlikely anyway. There was just too much smoke around him. But they wanted his rights going into the off season. He's a very cheap player in 2019. So, you know, that was what this was about. And I don't, I would now be surprised, especially if anything happens as far as legally in Tampa with Reuben Foster, if he's convicted of anything. He's in the same situation, in my opinion, without the video that Kareem Hunt is in, because he keeps claiming, I didn't do it, extenuating circumstances, blah, blah, blah. But now with her saying today, I was lying back then, I shouldn't have recanted my testimony, I thought he would change, and now saying it happened again, who's going to pick up Reuben Foster unless he goes into some significant mental rehab, and also he's going to, I believe, he will also have a significant suspension from the league. So I think both of those guys are looking at, you know, very, very questionable whether they play in 2019 either.
How about her assertion that somebody from the 49ers tried to talk police out of even believing her, saying she was the same ex-girlfriend that had lied? 49ers try to protect this guy.
Yeah, and that really shocked me. That shocked me because that night I talked to John Lynch, and John Lynch was crestfallen about this whole thing, and that really does surprise me. And that's going to be a couple of phone calls of mine in the next day or two.
Peter, we always appreciate the time. You take care.
All the best, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
Peter King, Football Night in America, joining us.